Welcome to today's broadcast of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Hey, welcome again to another edition of the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor, and I pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. And we have the privilege of putting this podcast together every week to talk about leadership and servanthood, how they go together. You know, we want to learn how to serve well, then we're going to lead well. And then if we lead well, we're going to absolutely serve well. And on this particular season, I've had in studio with me, and I want to welcome again, Pastor Bob Claycamp. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, it's great to be with you again.
You can hear the technology, or his voice sounds a little bit different because we haven't been able to be in studio. We're doing this by telephone on this episode and the next one at the least, because Pastor Bob has been on assignment and we didn't anticipate necessarily the assignment, how long it would be, and we didn't know how long it would be. And so he's still on assignment. And I think as we step into today's episode, Bob, we've got the topic of leading with a limp. And before we get into the topic, though, why don't you fill us in very briefly of what on assignment means? What's the ministry you're a part of? I mean, I know you're on our team here and you're a phenomenal addition to our team, but you're also in a ministry. You also have a ministry that you do. Why don't you tell everyone listening a little bit about that and what your assignment is right now?
Sure. I pastored for about 29 years in Phoenix, in the north part of Phoenix, and then turned that church over to our second son. The board voted for him to take the church. And so that freed up my wife and I to go around and be able to help out other pastors and wives all around the world. Actually, that's how it ended up. And the ministry that we're a part of is called Poimen Ministries. And the word poimen is an anglicized Greek word, poimeno, which means to shepherd or pastor. And there's about 13 pastors and wives that are longtime Calvary Chapel pastors, that our heart is to go around and to assist other pastors and wives, whether it's to just provide encouragement or maybe a set of fresh eyes coming into their church to see what things can be freshened up and changed. And the recommendation goes only to the senior pastor. And other times we step into a situation where there's a transition that needs to be done for various reasons. And that kind of transition is what my wife and I are involved in up here in Northern Colorado in a community called Windsor, Colorado. The pastor and his wife died in a tragic car accident back in July. And we were asked to step in and see the church through the healing process and help them in the establishment of finding their next pastor. So that's part of what we do. And it's very fulfilling, very challenging, outside our comfort zone so many times. But we're up here in the area of Greeley, Windsor, Loveland, Fort Collins, to see how the Lord is going to see us through it.
And just by way of reminder, Bob, how many total years have you been in ministry, including pastoral ministry?
Ever since I became a believer, we jumped right into things. Back in 1969, that's when we encountered Calvary Chapel. They came up to Oregon. So watching the Jesus Revolution movie just brought back memories of you know, those days of laying hands on the car to get it started and all that. Yeah.
Amazing. And you lived in one of those communal ministry houses, didn't you?
Yeah. I was in charge of two of them, one in Portland, Oregon, and one in Richmond, Virginia. Mm. We planted it. Amazing days, lots of stories.
Yeah, I think before we end this season, we're going to have a Jesus Revolution conversation on this. I think many people would love to hear your perspective.
Okay.
That's good.
You got it.
Just came to mind. But today, so thanks for that insight. You're up in Northern Colorado, and I know that you're bringing, you and Jeannie, your wife, are bringing a solid stability. That's the word I think of. We were studying this week about Moses and Aaron and Hur, and one of the words that stuck out in Exodus 17 to me, which will be our next episode, actually, but one of the words that stood out to me was steady. And I think you brought and are bringing currently a steadiness to a church that was deeply, deeply hurt, which brings us to our topic today. The church was hurt by the sudden. It was sudden, immediate, tragic loss, and it really hit the church hard. I mean, it hit our community hard. Scott and Nancy were wonderful, wonderful pillars within the Calvary family throughout Colorado, and they have been almost, I think I've known him almost since when I moved here, and he was serving in Colorado Springs. And so I share a little bit of that, and I think it's important for you to give us a little perspective, because limping implies a permanent pain. That limping is an adjustment to some type of pain or previous injury. And I think that you guys listening in right now, words like hurt, bruised, battered, worn out, hindered. You could think of the ways it's happened, lied about, slandered, families coming and going, you know, especially as we have this kind of sub-theme of ministering post-pandemic. Ministering to others is difficult. It's hard. It's challenging. And because of that, we get injured as leaders and servants. And this is both from the pastoral level to overseeing a life group or a home group. We get hurt, we get battered and bruised. I love that word, but we still need to move forward because of what God has called us to do. And so just as we begin, any initial thoughts on the topic? Like, you've been doing this a long time, Bob. So I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that you have led with a limp. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Yeah, when I think of that topic, I think of David, who became king later. But when he first came into the picture with the Goliath scene and the armies of Israel, his rationale was he fought with a lion and a bear as a little guy watching his father's sheep. And he put his life at risk to rescue that sheep. And he says that he grabbed it by the beard to take the lamb out of its mouth. I mean, I can't even do that with my dog and take something out of its mouth that it wants. And so I'm wondering what kind of scars were on David with a close encounter of the seventh kind when he's ripping out a lamb out of the mouth of a lion or out of a bear. And so those scars to David were victory scars, because those scars reminded him of God's victory, and they became a testimony to him that no matter how big the enemy, he could win. And God has this way of taking our scars and turn them into victory scars, and our limps, like Jacob had, and turning them into victory scars as well.
I was thinking it would be counterintuitive to think that leadership would be attached to limping. Like, it's counterintuitive to think that through our weaknesses, we're going to lead better. The world teaches just the opposite.
Yes. I mean, it was preparation for David for later on. And going through times of brokenness, which is kind of that's the name of the umbrella that maybe all this falls into, is a preparation that the Lord allows to be able to bring empathy, to be able to bring humility, to be able to bring perspective in what you're doing, because you're not dealing with car engines where you're just trying to fix it. You're dealing with people, and it's all fluid. And you never know. I mean, it's worse than like Forrest Gump said, it's worse than a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And so many times you're trying to help somebody, and all of a sudden, all this other stuff comes out. But the Holy Spirit is sufficient. I mean, God's grace is sufficient to be able to help us when we are shocked with what is unfolding in front of us.
You know, in this episode comes, what you and I are talking about right now, comes on the heels of our last episode, doubting, wondering if we should be in the ministry or not, or whether we should lead or not. And it really does, these blows, these hardships, these difficulties, these attacks, these, you know, I think of within the church, there are people issues, there are money issues, there are vision issues, there's insecurities, there are fears and anxieties. And if we're not careful, we try to spend our whole life to get out from under them instead of embracing this fact. And David said this in Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit." The nearness of the Lord comes through these broken situations. And here's the thing, and I've been guilty of this, and I wonder if you have as well. I won't speak for you, but I've absolutely been guilty of trying to get as far away from brokenness and pain as I possibly can. And I've done it by trying to get back. I've done it by going on vacation. I've done it by burying myself in a book. I've done it by silent treatment. I've done it in so many different fleshly ways. It's when the Lord's almost saying, "But Ed, this is a gift I'm giving to you that's going to draw you near to me. And when you draw near to me, I draw near to you." Have you found yourself trying to run away from brokenness?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I want to finish well. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I don't have much time to make any more mistakes and to recover from them.
Right.
And so I want to finish well. And I ask the Lord so often, "Lord, just give me common sense. I need common sense because I don't want to make a foolish mistake. And then I don't have much time to rebound out of it." And so, but you discover in those times of brokenness and pain and being weighing over your head, Deuteronomy 33 says, "Underneath are the everlasting arms." And so how can we learn the depth of God's comfort unless he allows deep trial and then he shows his deeper comfort and restoration and the grace? And you get a heart knowledge of it. And so those are necessary. I mean, any leader has to have times of brokenness to be able to have a depth of ministry.
That word depth is super important, because I think that Jesus would teach us that the way up is down. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you need to be the servant of all. And when we speak of depth, you know, going down and God doing deep, deep work in us, I was reminded of another place that Hebrew word contrite is used in Isaiah 57. In verse 15, it says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and a humble spirit." And then he says, "To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive heart of the contrite ones." And so the work of the Holy Spirit going deep, that work of revival comes from brokenness. It comes from a depth of acknowledging that this is what I'm doing, what I'm involved in, even my identity is in Christ to serve him well and not to hide. You know, one of the ways that we respond to brokenness and limping is we try to hide it, we try to downplay it, we try to deny it, because there's a sense, and you guys listening in, like, I'm sure you felt this, like, if I show any sign of weakness, then people won't follow me. If I show any sign of weakness, then people won't trust me. I mean, they're good thoughts, but not necessarily going to lead you. If you're not careful, that they won't lead you to the right conclusion, because of course people will follow you. They're broken too. And of course people will trust you. I mean, some won't, but we're not going to serve people by the sum we're going to serve people by what's right before the Lord. We're going to have the fear of God, not the fear of man. And let's go back to a Bob, in your thinking to Jacob for a second, because commentators, Bible teachers, they'll take the wrestling with God and draw out a lot of key expository insights on them. But I want to suggest one to you, and I want your thoughts on it. I haven't told you this yet, so I want you to think about this. The depth and the quality of life that was built into Jacob during that time of wrestling, I want you to consider this. It was in wrestling with God that Jacob found his true identity, because his name was changed. Yes. It was changed from supplanter to Israel, to being ruled by God, and no longer trying to be ruled under his own strength and doing his own thing. And although that was a part, if we would using New Covenant terms, that would be a part of his flesh the rest of his life. His identity came through the wrestling, and also through the final, you know, hip socket, God dealing with him, and he's going to walk around with a limp the rest of his life. So his limp actually reminded him of, it was a constant reminder of his true identity. What do you think about that?
I believe that with all my heart, because he was going to be facing some serious, serious things in the future as he entered into the land, dealing with, well, starting off dealing with Esau, and then coming into Shechem with what happened with his daughter Dinah, and then everybody's against me, you know, and then the loss of Rachel, and then the loss of Joseph, and all the rest of it. And so all during that, he had that limp. And all he could do was fall back upon the fact, like, the only way I can win through this is to prevail through prayer, through intercession. And we don't like to have limps. We want to be looking very well. And God brings things into our life to, I guess they're impact moments where it changes our perspective for the rest of our life in a good way.
It's important too, you guys listening in, that our identity, if we're looking at identity with relationship to Jacob, or now Israel, is not in the limp. And that's one of the mistakes I think is made that does not help leadership and servant, is that some have taken the position of, oh, I'm always going through it, and they're attacking me again, and what their identity is in the limp. Their identity is in the pain that they're facing, instead of, no. That's part of life, but your identity is to be ruled by God. Your identity is to be that mom at home, or to be that employee, or that leader, or that ministry overseer, or that our identity is not in the limp. It's in who we are in Christ. But the limp reminds us, and I've always had ministry stuff happening in my life, and, you know, normal everyday stuff. But when our son passed away 10 years ago, that this was super challenging. It transformed my life. The loss of my son was a transformative moment in time that has been ongoing for 10 years, that intertwined with all these different temptations and difficulties. And one of the temptations was to identify with my loss, because other people would then begin to identify. That's how it all started. I'm sad, and it's hard, and it's challenging, and it's attacking my marriage, attacking my kids, attacking my emotions. And I get back into church, and there's an identification now that's been added to me. Now I have a new limp, and it's a pretty obvious limp. That's one thing about limps too.
Yeah.
I guess
if
we would have taken some notes on this, we could have said, wow, you know, limps are pretty obvious too. That's one of the things you notice about someone, is the way they walk, and if they walk with a limp. And the temptation, though, with something that's obvious, is then that becomes your identity. And we do live in a culture that, and whether we like it or not, that we're tempted to be the victim, because it does help us. It doesn't help us. What am I trying to say? Like, the victim mentality kind of coddles that part of us that needs attention or wants attention, but the Lord's not in that. He's given us the victory by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to pause just for a second and say, I've seen this in pastors. My church isn't this, and I don't have these, and I'm not.
Yeah.
And before you know it, like that's just something that God has allowed in your life to draw you near to Him so you can be more usable, not less. And so the limp isn't your identity. Your identity is in the victorious work of the cross and the blood that has forgiven you of your sins and removed your guilt and shame.
Amen. It reminds me of that illustration of somebody stabbing a knife into your back, and then you want to make sure everybody sees the knife, because how unjust, how unfair, that was so wrong, look what they did to me. And the Lord wants to heal it, but you got to take the knife out. But to take the knife out, then nobody will see it. And so you want to keep the knife in and wonder why you're in such pain. But you're using the knife as your identity instead of the victory scar of the Lord healing it. And so sometimes we don't want to take the knife out because no one will know how badly we were treated. And that's never the testimony of God. It's how He comes in after those things. Because look what they did to the Lord Jesus. And yet He loved back. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do.
Yeah.
And so if any of you that are listening know that you have a knife in your back, and you sense you're using it as your identity, you need to get alone with the Lord and say, I need to take this out. Don't ask Him to remove it. You have to take a hold of the handle and pull it out through His strength so He can heal the wound.
That's a real good point, Bob, because we can kind of collect our wounds in a box and just and then when you get together with other guys, hey, how are you, how's your it's kind of like when you age and you're only talking about all your injuries, how's your angina and how's your arthritis and all the things that our bodies are falling apart. And I think the longevity in ministry too, it's like, you know, how's this issue and how's that issue and how's this issue. And but there's another addition, you know, is in learning our identity. And I think this will be the final subtopic that we do on as we're getting close to time here. But I think of another thing that leading with a limp really helps us with, because the ministry and serving and even places of leadership and oversight have a tendency to be co-opted and taken over by these desires for a position or a title or some sort of power, authority, a privilege, and even a sense of entitlement. And I have found over the years that the limping in my life, and I think even when I stepped into the ministry here back in 1999, and there I am going, back in 1999, Bob, when I stepped into ministry here in Colorado, I was stepping into a challenging situation with a taking over for another pastor that had a Bible study on this side of town. And I had a lot of issues to take care of. And the wounds of this church started in the very first few months of my oversight that was entrusted to me, and they've collected over the years. I'd have to have a storage unit, I think, if we were looking to collect them. But because of those, I would say that brokenness and contriteness and humility and a closeness to Christ has helped me deal with these temptations of using positions wrongly, or using a title wrong, or using the power vested in me, that leading with the limp helps me to see that character and attitude are forged in my life through these things. And I'm not there yet, but Paul would even say that he came to a place in his life, which is unbelievable to me, but he talked about boasting in his infirmities.
Yeah. It reminds me of bad tools that you can buy on the internet that are super cheap, but they haven't been forged. And how they're forged is that steel, that material has to be heated up red hot and smashed. And that's, and then over and over and over again. And that's what builds up a high quality tool, is that it's gone through forging in an intense process, especially those that are doing like torque, and you're relying upon that to have a certain pressure that has to be put upon a bolt. You don't want a crummy tool because it'll break under the pressure.
As we look at how God is fashioning and molding us and forging us through these difficulties, it's super important for you guys listening in as we wind down today that you get your life and your identity and your worth from Christ and not from ministry. And these little episodes along the way, I think of things that are surrounding us right now. Not me personally, although I can add my own personal things, but I think of prodigal kids. I think of financial challenges. I think of cultural pressures. I think of, for some, denominational pressures. I think of the reality of inflation hitting homes. And so that's bringing a lot of stress into the home. So moms and dads are fighting. Kids are caught in the middle. I think of the social media issues that are upon us. I think of the culture, you know, the approach that we take here. It has to be from a place of humility and brokenness. It has to be from a place of knowing who we are in Christ, knowing the calling of God upon our lives, that we can move forward. And I guess the title here, I'm not even sure how many people stuck with us all the way to the end, but if you're limping, that's normal. And we maybe could have led with that, but if you're limping right now because you've been wounded serving God, or wounded in life because of the sinfulness of man or your own sinfulness, that is normal, and it actually can, not can, but it can if you allow it. So it actually can work for your advantage if you allow it. Any final thoughts on that, Bob?
I think it's part of not my will, but thine be done. And it's been said that worship is, the meaning of worship is to bow down or to kiss the feet. And really it has to do with surrendering the will to the one that you're worshiping.
Yeah.
And you have to let the Lord paint his own picture with you, because you are his workmanship. You're not your own workmanship.
That's so good, Bob. We've come to the end of this episode. I thank you guys for tuning in, listening in, sharing. We've seen an overwhelming response to this season. I think we're tapping in to something. At least this is what's happened. I mean, really, the podcast episodes are just life, what we're going through here, what we're facing, and even the interesting part of where Bob's serving up north, I'm serving down here south in the Denver metro area, and so he's got a different context of what he's been working through. I've got a context what I've been working through, and leading with a limp is normal. It is part of the process, and you can even see that it's God is using it to draw you near to him. We are at the end of today's episode. This is the Lead to Serve podcast. Please leave a positive review, post it on your social media. It helps all the algorithms work out so this pops up when people are looking for leadership or servant type podcasts. You can contact me directly, edtaylor.org, edtaylor.org, or you can text me anytime at this number. If you have an idea for a podcast or you have a prayer request, you can text me at 720-608-0012. And that goes directly to me. Go to my website, edtaylor.org. You can email me through there as well. Don't go to .com. If you do go to edtaylor.com, you'll see a professional Santa Claus. And that's not me. It is another guy that is super successful as a Santa Claus. My website is .org, edtaylor.org. Until next time, bless you guys. Thanks again for being with us, Bob.
It's been great.
Till next time, God bless you guys.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.